Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, November 6th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 57, and we'll be beginning with the second paragraph, reading through the end of the page, that begins, Even so has God, and ends, He disclosed Himself to us, and we'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Susan R., the 12 traditions, Bonnie B., readers of the text, Sherry D., Vanessa G., our backup is Reva P., our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., our second hour host is Colleen M., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. And thank you, everyone, for your service. And I just realized, oh, there we go, share ID. The share ID is for Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,886. That's 21886. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,887. That's 21887. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan R. to please read the 12 steps. Susan, press star one. We can't hear you.
Good morning. This is Susan R. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service on my path.
Thank you, Susan R. And I'll now ask Bonnie B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service. Bonnie B., living in the state of Florida, compulsive overeater, but by the grace of God, recovered this morning. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create special boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And step 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. In the chapter We Agnostics, we are on page 57. Beginning with the second paragraph, even so has God, through the end of this chapter, which closes with he disclosed himself to us. And we'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. And I'll now ask Sherry D. to please begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Sherry D., compulsive overeater in Maryland. Even so has God restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. So, yeah, so this reminds me, for myself, of the breakdown of step 2 that I took when I came into the program. I came to, and then I came to believe, because for me, my relationship with my higher power has been ongoing and ever changing, because when I came into recovery, had an understanding of a God that was all powerful and would be there to help everyone except those lying, cheating thieves like myself. And this passage tells me all I need is an honest heart. It doesn't require perfection. And no matter how much time it takes, my higher power will meet me where I am. This morning, the grapevine quote was, spiritual progress isn't what gets us sober, it's what keeps us sober. And every morning for me, I have the opportunity to reset and renew if I choose to. So today I started my day off the same way I have for many years now, on my knees with my third step and seventh step prayer. And I've done this so often that my animals are part of my routine. When I hit my knees, my dog jumps up on the bed and puts her head up against mine. When I meditate and pray, my cat sits on my lap and is part of my meditation. And one of the things I love, when we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. When I was young, my grandmother taught me so many beautiful lessons, but one of them was she had this painting in her bedroom, and it was a picture of a young girl opening a door, and on the other side was the image of God. And she said, "Sherry, I want you to notice that on that door, there's only a doorknob on the little girl's side. He's always waiting. If I choose to open the door, my higher power will be there for me." And I'm so very grateful for that. Today, I feel a connection with my higher power. The miracle for me is I have absolutely no desire to go to my alcoholic foods whatsoever at all. And I'm so very grateful for that. And that's because I come to meetings like this. I study the literature because this is a text all about addiction, and I know that this is the solution for me. So I'm very grateful to be here, grateful to be of service. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry D. from Maryland, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to comment on what was read?
Kelly S.
Tina S.
Kelly.
Tina S.
Tina. Gotcha, Eva Kelly T. and Tina. Reva.
Could you tell me where we read from? I just came on to the meeting.
Christina J.
Thanks, Christina. We are on the last two paragraphs of page 57, We Agnostics, closing out the chapter.
Thanks.
I have.
Thank you.
Kelly S. I have Kelly S., Tina S., Reva P., Christina J. Anybody else?
Nancy P.
Nancy. Okay. Let's go with this. Kelly S., you're up, followed by Tina S.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Kelly F., Kelly with an EYS, recovered compulsive overeater in Bulimic Impulse, Oklahoma. Grateful to be here. Just really wanted to share on this because I know a lot of you guys have heard my story, and I've been around these rooms for decades, and it took me a long time to really understand what this program is all about. You know, I, for years, decades, in these rooms, 41 years, I still was seeking, you know, abstinence and food neutrality. That was my goal. And so the message I would really like to share to people, especially like me who's been around forever, is this is about a relationship with God. You know, it tells us in this chapter that, right? The whole point of this book. And that's why I'm doing this work. You know, I'm not doing this work to stay abstinent. I mean, that's great, but we put down the food in order to get, you know, work the steps to get this connection with God. And it's telling me here, you know, he has come to all who have honestly sought him. Well, I wasn't seeking God all those years. I was seeking a better food plan, a better sponsor, a better meeting, you know? And I thought, you know, God will help me with all that stuff, right? But I was really seeking the wrong thing. And then I really started hearing this message, and my sponsor a few years ago said, you know, you've got to start seeking God, look for ways for God. And, you know, when I think about this, you know, in the doctor's opinion, back in step one, something that was a new paragraph for me, just kidding, after all these years, was where it talks about, you know, throughout the emotional pill seldom suffices. This is, here it is. He's talking about, you know, we've got to stop drinking or eating, right? But the doctor even then says, in nearly all cases, these ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. So even the doctors are like, we have to recreate our lives. We don't have to find a better food plan or a better sponsor. We're recreating our lives. We're like walking out of this old life into a new life. And so when I started realizing this is about a new way of living, it's about a relationship with God. Yes, I had to get abstinent, and I did have to have a good food plan, and I put the food down. But I'm working these steps because now I'm realizing I don't have power to do this, you guys. You know, we can put the food down for a little bit, but I couldn't keep it down. And I certainly can't recreate my life. And once I realized that the whole point of this is a relationship with God and to recreate my life, I started seeking God. Now, I wasn't seeking about food. It wasn't about that anymore. It's about how can I be different? How can I show up? How can I be of service, right? God has restored me to my right mind. I do have neutrality with food. I am at a normal body weight, and those are amazing. But today I am learning how to show up, like I said, to fit myself to be of maximum service. And, you know, to go to God, to have trust and reliance, and it's not always easy. I mean, my sponsor says that life gets lifey. But today I seek God, and when I look for God and I know that this is what it's all about, it has changed my recovery and my abstinence. So with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kelly S. from Oklahoma. And Tina S., you're up, followed by Reva P.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Tina S., covered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting already. Just got started. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, one of the things that I really like that next to the last paragraph talks about is that, you know, it says that we honestly sought him, you know. And when I got here, you know, I just say this because it's so true. I didn't come here to get spiritual. I didn't come here to find God. And one of the things that it says here is sought. It doesn't say find, you know, and that really helped me, you know, because it says that we seek, you know, and I continue to do that. And then, you know, when we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us, you know, and God, you know, that just gives me chills when I think about it, you know. And I'm one of those ones that, you know, it happened over time. You know, it wasn't sudden for me, and thank you God it was for some people. But, you know, what I had to do was to work the 12 steps again, you know. I always say this, the same person will eat again. You know, and if I'm not changing, if I don't have that transformation, I'll be that same person and I will eat again. And I won't have a relationship with the power greater than myself. But through the process, and this was what happened for me, you know, it happened. You know, I just worked the steps like it was suggested. And I don't know when, you know, I did what people told me to do. You know, I was raised Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I had to put all that stuff aside. You know, I had to lay aside all my prejudice. And what I did was just work the steps, you know. And what happened was, you know, I have a relationship with the power greater than myself that is phenomenal today. You know, by the time I got to step 11, I really wanted to seek. I really wanted to have this conscious contact with a power greater than myself who had changed me through the process, you know, because I had tried many, many years to change, and I could not do this on my own. I could not. And like with the initial lead shared that, you know, I came to, and I came to believe. And that's what happened for me through the process of the 12 steps. Because even on step two, you know, I was just willing to do this stuff. I wasn't believing anything, you know. I was just willing. And then in step three, I was willing to go on with the rest of the steps. You know, I made a decision to go on with the rest of the steps. And what happened was, you know, God came into my heart. He was always inside of me, and he changed me. You know, he changed me, and I love what was said also. Today I'm a different person. I suit up and I show up and I be of service, you know, today. And that's not why I got here. That's not why I came here, but that's why I stay here. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Christina J.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, when I first came in to OA, I noticed that the people who had what I wanted, which was more than a slim body, was that peace, that it, all had something called like this spiritual connection with some kind of a power. And I was told I needed a power because, yeah, I could put down the food and address the allergy of the body, but I learned from the first few chapters that the ism, the obsession of the mind, all the crazies I get in my head, will make me miserable and take me back to the thing that kills me, and only a power greater than myself can heal that. Because for me, step one is, Reva, you are going to binge, you are going to binge, you are going to do this again and again and again, unless you access this power. So I was like sort of frantic, like, where do I find this power? How do I get this power? And of course, when I try to figure out, it's pretty dangerous and things get complicated. So I'm so grateful for the people who made it really simple. How do I seek the power? And how do I access the power? By putting the food down and doing the steps. And it's quite miraculous how that works. And what I notice here is all is mentioned twice. You know, I can't identify out and say, you know, I get all my evidence of why God's not going to come through, why it's not going to work for me. He has restored all of us. If you do what you are told to do and follow these directions, all, and he has come to all. But then there's a condition. What do I have to do? There's action words. Seeking is an action. And I don't seek by doing all these intellectual analyses and gymnastics. I seek by just doing the work. And the word disclose, you know, to uncover, to make something seen. Like, it is skin, but to this day, you know, I can share a step 10 yesterday, and I'm so blocked, and I'm so fearful, and there's always resentment in there, but it's always fear at the, you know, at the core. And at the end of the process, you know, after 10 comes 11, I sit quietly. Disclose means, oh my God, I see things differently, and I can see, where is the God in this? Where is God in this? In everything, in every situation, every interaction. And I need to do the actions, because I go back into 60-63 with the self. But he does disclose, and it's like with a feather. There's no effort. When I do the work, God is like, poof, here's the answer. I'm not always so poof, but, you know, it's very simple. It's very, very simple. So, and I didn't get this in step two, but step two was definitely the beginning of this process. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. I had a good food plan. I've had good food plans through the years. I used to teach aerobics, and I was obsessed with good food plans because I figured that if I lost weight and kept healthy and kept off the sugar, my life would heal. My mind would heal. And I had a God. What I didn't know was the two needed to get connected, because I was miserable in between the two places, food plans and God. I was in the middle going, what? I didn't know that. I didn't know my mind was not right. I didn't know I was supposed to seek God, to honestly seek him. I just wanted the recovery I heard in the rooms in 2014. And I didn't know, as I took the steps, that this was going to be the secret. He has come to all who has honestly sought him. This is the secret. This is the secret, and this touches my heart so deeply. When he drew near, when I draw near to my husband and he gives me a precious hug, I just fall into it. When I draw near to God in my morning meditation and prayer, in my chair, and I'm so blocked and so dull in the morning, and it begins to open my heart as I breathe in and out of my heart space and do the readings and hear in the words what God wants to reveal to me for the day. He disclosed himself to me, to us. And I am a turtle in the Sahara when it comes to this program. I am slow because I have a strong, controlling mind, and I've had it since I was a little girl, jumping up and down in the kitchen, asking my mom for Kool-Aid, you know, wanted that sugar right away for the irritable, restless, and discontent that I felt in my soul. It's so beautiful to be in this program, where I can seek something that immediately gives me relief from any fear I might have about anything. I have not been afraid of anything because I know God has it. He's in control. He's my boss. I follow him. I row. He's at the front of the boat guiding. I might be rowing the wrong direction, and he sort of goes, oh, you're rowing over here. You're supposed to row over there. But I've got to yield that wisdom. I've got to be clear. When we honestly seek him, how can I honestly seek him if I'm blocked by food, if I'm blocked by wanting to shop, if I get like itchy and I feel like, oh, I need to do something? That's a sign. It's a sign. I've got to pause, to sit there when I'm uncomfortable and unhappy and feel horrible from some sickness or something and say, please help me. It seems like such a stretch that this God's going to help me through that time. Got to have patience and wait. I want an immediate fix, right? That's what my mind tells me. You got to get this fixed right away. I need to connect that mind to my heart and take that pause and breathe in and out for a few minutes. This is the secret of recovery, to seek God. Seek God and move towards Him. And He discloses Himself to us, and it's so precious. Thank you for letting me share it, Pat.
Thank you, Christina J. And Nancy P., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. This is my favorite chapter, and it's always a little sad when we get to the end because this is the chapter that I feel the most hope for myself as an agnostic because I'm still agnostic. I'm still neither an atheist nor a believer. I'm just not in that space at all. But what I do know is that I've healed. In spite of, you know, now, especially this very moment in time, I have unbearable sadness in my life, you know, in my brain. But, you know, there's no, what's the choice? To indulge in that or to just shut up and keep swimming? You know, there's no other way for me. And, you know, I don't say there's no God. I don't say there is a God. I don't care. And I never spend any time thinking about it except when I talk about my agnosticism. But I'm healed. And that is a miracle. It is absolutely a miracle. The woman who called one day to the next, sobbing in my car over my donuts, and the next day, and for the next almost 7 years, never doing that, never hurting myself with food under any circumstances. I mean, that is a miracle. You know what? It's not a mystery. I know exactly how I got here. And you know, once I decided what I wanted God to be and what I wanted it to do for me, you know, thus was my cornerstone set in place, and no later vicissitude has shaken it. It's in the rearview mirror along with the food. The only thing that I do today is the next right thing. You know, circumstances didn't make me willing to believe in anything, but circumstances forced me to confront who I was and, you know, what I wanted and what I wanted my life to be. And, you know, and with the help of an excellent sponsor and this book and the fellows that saved my life, I mean, the summer of 2018, the thousands of phone calls that I made, literally thousands of phone calls every day, all day, if I wasn't working, sleeping, or taking care of my family, I was on the phone. Those people saved my life, and I got through this hard time in my life without hurting myself with food and, in fact, lived to thrive. You know, that is a miracle. But I got to tell you, it wasn't a mystery. I did every single thing that my sponsor told me to do immediately and as hard as I could. And I did what the book said. So, you know, it's right there in front of us. And we're just about to find out how it works. It's the next chapter. If you want to know how I did it, read that chapter and do what it says. And you'll get what I have and what everybody else whose recovery you respect or desire for yourself. They all did that too. And we all did the same thing. And we all got the same thing. In the shape that we are, you know, I got it shaped for me. But, you know, everything's been restored. My sanity, my morals, my sense of humor, everything. I mean, I am whole today because of one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. And we are on page 57 in We Agnostics. The last two paragraphs on the page, beginning "Even so has God," and ends "He disclosed Himself to us." Who else would like to share this morning?
Melissa.
I heard Melissa.
Kathy S.
Kathy, thanks,
Rita
Kathy.
R. Massachusetts.
Amy G. Somebody R. in Massachusetts.
Rita R.
Leia S.
Rita, there's Leia S. Did you get Amy G.? Amy G., thank you. Nope. Gotcha.
Patrick O.
I'll tell you what I have. Oh, say again.
Patrick O.
Patrick O. Okay, let me tell you who I have, and you all can tell me if I missed anybody. Melissa C., Kathy S., Rita R., Leah S., Amy G., Patrick O. Did I miss anybody? Okay, Melissa C., you're up, followed by Kathy S.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Lisa, for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I think about restoration to sanity, you know, that this is a promise that I'm given. If I honestly seek God, if I really look for God and I get restoration. And I think, like, for me, restoration means that I recoil as if from a hot flame from food, you know, I mean, that was really, that for me is what it boils down to being sane, because I know, and I've had full knowledge of the foods that I have a horrible reaction to, an allergic reaction to. And I think, you know, if I was allergic to shellfish, the sanest thing I could do would be to stay the hell away from shellfish, right? And yet, I don't have that ability where food is concerned without having a restoration of my sanity. And the only thing that can restore me to sanity is a miracle, right? Is a miraculous intervention between me and the food. I needed God to step in between me and that first compulsive bite. And, you know, I am someone who has experienced tremendous miracles in this program. You know, first, one of my first meetings where I, not my first meeting, but where I really got like, oh crap, I get this. This is no joke. I'm in trouble. What happened for me at that meeting was I never ate chocolate again. I can't believe that that's the definition of a miracle. But guess what? Without me doing any other huge work at that point, God removed it. And my response is when I smell it, it actually makes me nauseous. I'm revolted. And I truly could not consume enough. And that was removed, right? But I have had many other miracles. I thought that that was like the most important miracle of my life, to have a physical transformation. And man, that was just God's opening act. Because what has really been my miracle of healing is that when life gets lifey, when life gets hard and uncomfortable and not my way, I feel closer to God and I feel more motivated to do what I believe my God would have me do. And the way that I've gotten there is, yes, by leaving the food alone and by seeking God, by putting myself unreservedly in God's care. And so, you know, life does not have to go my way all the time. I throw myself at the mercy of my loving Creator, and I get direction. I get, you know what I get? Show up and be loving. Show up and have gratitude. Go forth and bring love and light into the world. And, I mean, that sounds so hokey and crazy, and I can't believe that that's what I'm saying. But it is. That's my truth. And when I live that way, food is irrelevant. I just, you know, I eat my boring abstinent meals day in and day out so I can do God's will. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. And Kathy S., you're up, followed by Rita R.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And I can totally relate with all of the prior shares, and that God's the one that does this. There's so many times, like even today, I will frantically work or use this program to analyze my thinking and try to get myself back into a right mind. And in many ways it works, because I pray when I work a 10th step, and God does inspire me and help me to see a new angle. But there's also times like this morning where I'm on my way, you know, my husband and I are on our way to the gym, and he makes a comment about, what would you do if I like touched you, you know, and touched your butt in the gym or something. And I just looked at him and I'm like, I would punch you in the face, and I would take great pleasure in that. You know, and I was like, I was just so irritated. I woke up just that way this morning. And then, you know, I'm missing the sight that he's attracted to me, and because of the recovery that I have, not only physically, but also emotionally, and where our marriage is at today is nothing short of a miracle. But I can tell that I was in this downward spiral this morning, and I didn't sit down. I'm like, what's going on with me? Am I stressed about something? Which is sometimes what I'll do. And this time it was just very simple. I just prayed and I just asked God, please restore me. You know, literally was saying this prayer and just asking God, this idea of speaking, you know, sometimes it's no action. It's leaving it in God's hands. It's surrendering to what is, accepting life as it is, and just getting quiet, just being still. That is the hardest action I take, but it is probably one of the most effective ones, because God comes in and he draws himself, you know, he discloses himself. And just, I was so inspired by so many of the shares this morning on the meeting, and I can't thank you all enough. You know, it was just, especially with the first one with the animals on the bed, I'm like, whoa. And just, I just feel like this softening in my spirit. And I felt like, Kathy, just walk this morning in peace, because it's there. And you know, that's where I'm at. And I can't explain it any other way than it was God who restored me to my right mind, to see the gratitude of my life and my situation, and not need food or anything else to try to fix it. And I'm just incredibly grateful for this process and for abstinence and for the power of God. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy S. And Rita R., you're up, followed by Leia F.
Yes. Yeah,
Rita, we can't hear you very well. Can you adjust a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
Can you turn? I don't know. Maybe my volume. I can't hear you. Yes, it's better. Go ahead.
How about this?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Yes. Thank you all, everyone, for doing service. Thank you for the beautiful lead. And, you know, sharing today to call out the liar that is in my chronic alcoholic mind. And just wanted to speak on the being restored to our right minds. It's definitely gradual. But, boy, just taking the action and just doing the steps, you know, that willingness to cooperate with God in the removal of some of my worst character defects, and humbly asking for their removal. It's been happening, and I've not done any of it. But guess what? There comes, after the lessening of self-righteousness, the lessening of self-criticism, there comes the judgment. How about this one, Rita? Work on that, you know? But I'm reminded that we're on, like, this is step two. And I wanted to share this miracle that happened to me when I first discovered, you know, the big book. And somebody took me through the steps in the big book. It was through willingness and that asking. I had the removal of a 40-year habit of chewing the skin around my fingers till they would bleed. Seriously, I'm an adult woman running around with, like, fingers that hurt and bleed. And because I chose to ask somebody to sponsor me and walk me through the big book, I have not done that for 4 years now. So I'm saying that just to share that there's not just the miracle of food neutrality and the removal of the obsession, but so much more. And so I just want to thank everyone for being here today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Rita R. And Leah S., you're up, followed by Amy G.
Thank you, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm grateful and recovered and so happy to share on these two paragraphs. What is this, a miracle of healing? What is this, a real miracle of me being abstinent for so long? What is this, a real miracle of being able to deal with situations that that I come across and that come across right in my lap? And I love it when Harlan just says, you know, you get abstinent and then you're going to feel everything. You're going to feel all your anger. You're going to feel all your frustrations. You're going to feel everything. And what is the miracle? The miracle is you don't do it, you know, exactly the way I do it. And yet there is something that is magical that is happening. And what I mean is that we all reach out for God for different things or our higher power, and somehow things work out for us. And normally they didn't work out. And all of a sudden the realization comes in and says, oh, that's why I kept on reaching for that piece of whatever or that slice of whatever. Yeah, oh, I see. And that's what the mind becomes clear about. And then it's not about, you know, reaching out and saying the perfect prayer or the perfect kind of thing, but it's your heart that God wants over here. Is there something so miraculous about it that I'm able to deal with situations that are really impossible? People are not really nice. Or they don't even go out of their ways to be nice sometimes. And how do I deal with that if I'm in the middle of it? And somehow things just work out because of that pause, because of these steps, because I'm looking at myself. Where is it that I can be good to God? That's it. Just good to God and not hurt other people either in the process. It's just remarkable. And just keep coming back and keep learning these steps and doing these 10 steps, because not only will you be restored to sanity, but your gratitude will be so great. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And Amy G., you're up, followed by Patrick O.
Good morning. Thanks, everyone, for such an awesome meeting. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. So this whole idea of, you know, quickly versus slowly, I am a educational variety girl, if you will, and God, if I can speak for my higher power, absolutely knew what I needed, because I remember my first sponsor, I chose her because she woke up in the middle of the night and went downstairs to binge, and the lights flashed on and off, and she was literally struck abstinent, right? I was like, give me some of that, bring that on, because I wanted to be struck abstinent with no effort whatsoever and then go about my merry way. But let's remember, the big book says we need a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. And when we talk about John Henry Fitzhugh Mayo, Fitz Mayo for short, in those last couple of paragraphs, right, I think we need to remember what is the rest of this story. And I'm not trying to put principles or personalities over principles, but John Fitzmayhew was sober for 8 years and then died of cancer. But in that time, as a fellow Marylander, this man in the D.C. Virginia metro area established AA groups in Chevy Chase, Bethesda, Alexandria, Fairfax, Georgetown, Arlington, and for a woman who has attended meetings in all of those cities, I am forever grateful. I know Arlen says, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. That's the rest of the story. Whether we're struck abstinent or sober, it's what we do with that spiritual experience. What is the action that we take? To me, seeking my God every day on a daily basis is working the principles and the steps of these programs and then being of service to my fellow sufferer compulsive overeater. That is the personality change, in my opinion, sufficient to bring about and keep recovery and a connection to my God. Am I of service to my still suffering fellow compulsive overeater? Because that's my job now. That is my purpose as I believe it to be. Yes, I have a life and a family, but am I still of service and am I living the principles of this program? I can be struck sober or I can be a garden variety. What am I doing after the story, right? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy G. And Patrick O., please share with
us. Good morning, everybody. I'm so scared to share. I haven't shared here for a while, and all your shares are so passionate, so grateful to listen. The thing about we drew near him to him, he disclosed himself to us. So I've been coming around for a long time, and I witnessed someone local here start working with someone with this group, and she got abstinent, and then I worked with somebody here, and I've got abstinent. And someone who I already shared here, I don't want to say, I've listened to her, one of her workshops so many times, and in that process, I felt so close to a higher power and got so much insight. And so I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for everybody's experience here. I'm really scared. So I'm just going to be quiet. I just wanted to speak up a little bit. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Where are you from, Patrick?
Nashville, Tennessee. Sorry.
Tennessee. Thank you. I thought you were a fellow Tennessean. Thank you, Patrick, for your share. And we do have time for two or three more shares. If anyone else would like to share on the last two paragraphs on page 57 in We Agnostics, closing out the chapter.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Laura L.
Roberta in Connecticut.
Okay, Roberta, let's close it. Let's see if we can make it. I have Chris G., Laura L., and Roberta. Didn't get the first initial of your last name. Chris G., you're up, followed by Laura L.
Chris G., I'm in East Tennessee. That's Eastern time. And I am a compulsive overeater. So I go back to page 56 where it says, who are you to say there is no God? So that is emphasized, that's italicized. Who are you to say there is no God? And that's humility. That's when I get humble and say, wait a minute, who am I to say there is no God? And so you can say this is the second step, but you can also see the 12 steps in these paragraphs today. Even so, God has restored us all to our right minds. But he does capitalize, but God has come to all who have honestly sought him. And the word seek is on the next page, on page 60, that A, B, and C, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, that God could and would if he were sought. Now you have to remember, this page 57 comes before the 12 steps. So they were meeting, having AA meetings before the steps. And what did they do at these AA meetings? Well, they sat in a circle, and the guys that had sought him were examples to the guys who needed to seek him. So we need to be examples. And so I think it reminds me, these two paragraphs reminds me of Tradition 12 and Step 12, and that God cares about what we say and do. And so we have to do differently. So we do have to be abstinent in our food, and we do have to follow a food plan, but we have to do differently. So that we can be an example to other compulsive overeaters of our doing differently and talking differently. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris G. And Laura L., you're up, followed by Roberta.
Thank you so much. Good morning. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut, and I'm a compulsive overeater as well as a restrictor bulimic and Anyway, and food addict. So thank you, everybody, for your shares. Have been really powerful and much needed this morning. What I was drawn to in these two paragraphs was a couple things, the miracle of healing, the circumstances made him willing to believe, and growing into it more slowly. So the latter is what I did. I grew into it very slowly. I've been in program for 4 years, and it took me years to really sort of get it, and the patience of so many sponsors and the miracles that were happening in people around me and in me, but I didn't attribute it to a higher power. I came in as mostly as an atheist who wanted to believe but just couldn't or didn't. So today, life has changed for me in so many ways, and the miracle of healing has happened and is happening. I'm still healing, and I will always be healing. It's not done, and I'm still growing, and I need to increase my spiritual, I need to enlarge my spiritual life every day because the disease comes at me in all different ways. I've been sick the last couple of days and had a cough, and cough drops are an issue for me, even though I try to find the ones that are sugar-free and all this stuff, so I've had to surrender that. And when it says circumstances made him willing to believe, yes, my circumstances have changed for me. I am more accepting. I'm kinder. I am humbler. I'm just a better person all around. And I'm seeking God through helping others every single day to the best of my ability. The last thing I will say is when I surrender completely in the morning, that's when my life goes better. And remember to talk to God and surrender throughout the day. This morning, I sort of not follow the instructions of the big book exactly. I looked at my phone to see the news. And then I could very honestly say I need to do a lot of acceptance today. And so, you know, but I'm doing, God knows, I'm doing the best I can. And my job today is to be there for others, which I will have a lot of that to do, given the work that I'm in. So I am, and my family and everybody else. So, yeah, but also to take care of myself because that's God's will as well. So thank you so much, everyone. I really appreciate this meeting. You change my life every day. God bless.
Thank you, Laura L. And Roberta, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, yes, it's G, Roberta G. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. It's my first time at this meeting. It was suggested to me by a sponsor in another program, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that has shared this morning. I have so much hope in the agnostics chapter. Is really probably one of my favorite. Never heard that word until I came into recovery, but the miracle of healing and listening to the fact that, you know, God does meet me where I'm at. And I can relate to the idea of, some people get it suddenly, you know, as a flash. And I have been of the educational variety, but the line that says he humbly offered himself to his maker, and that's when he knew. And my experience of recovery so far has been incredibly humbling to see how difficult it's been for me to let God be God in my life. I don't know why, other than fear of letting go and lack of faith. And it's not because I don't believe. I believe so strongly in God. But it's that I haven't fully made that connection to know that God is that present for me too, not just other people. But I have to be willing to let God take my life and my journey in the direction that God wants it to be. And
time.
Okay. Thank you so much again. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us, Roberta G. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, November 6, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,893. That's 21,893. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and to keep you until then.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.